Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 28, and I'll be reading verses 16 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 16. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we listen to your word, we pray, Lord, that your spirit convict our hearts of your message for us today, Lord, that we don't just be hearers, but doers of your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, after the service, I had a meeting and I was walking back home. A store near the 628 market, the walkway, caught my attention. I was intrigued by the many varieties of tidbits and sour things that this store owner was selling. And it doesn't help that the store owner was very generous. She asked me to try everything. Take, you must try. Take. If I tried everything, lunch would have been settled. But there was one tidbit that I really liked. It was dried ginger coated with brown sugar. When I tasted it, it tastes very refreshing to me. And I like it so much that I start to evangelize for her. I told the auntie, uncles around me, "This is nice, try, take it." And when they tried it, I could see their face glowing. And I was very happy that they are very happy. And I felt very happy to have to make a few converts and disciples of brown sugar ginger that day. As I was reflecting on that incident, I was also thinking, hey, if only I'm more enthusiastic about sharing the gospel, the real gospel, and making real disciples of Jesus Christ. How good it is when someone hears the gospel, experiences God, understands the peace that God brings, and the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, on the scale of 1 to 10, how excited are we to share the gospel or to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to help someone know Jesus Christ? You know, in the past 1 year, have we spoke to someone about Jesus Christ? Have we taught someone how to follow? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are we? If becoming like Christ is embracing his mission to the lost, how are we like him today? Now, we learned last week that God's will for us is towards Christ-likeness. God created us in his image. We are being transformed to that final goal that we will be like him, with him, and forever. And God has also provided the resource to make this vision a reality, and that is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And Christ-likeness is about being. It's an inward transformation that affects how we live. ultimately seen in our behavior. And I also shared that, you know, we also become like Christ when we serve as he serves, and importantly, becoming like Christ in his mission to the lost. What is Jesus' mission, and what did he send us to do? Jesus tells us very clearly what his mission is in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He says he came to seek and to save the lost. That is the reason why Jesus came as one of us. We read that in the gospel. Throughout his life, his incarnation, his ministry, his death, his resurrection is to point to this one and to fulfill this one mission. In John's gospel, in this version of the Great Commission, at the end, when Jesus resurrected and appeared to his disciples, this is the mission that he sent us out also. In John, Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." So we are on this same mission. And in our passage today in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus tells us the strategy of how to seek and to save the lost. So I'd like us to first understand Jesus' authority. What does it imply to us when we reach the lost? And second, what does make disciples entail? When Jesus says makes disciple, what does he mean? What are the components that we cannot miss out when we say we make disciples? And then third, I'd like us to participate in God's mission to make disciples here in AMKPC. We will see the process that we make disciples and how you can be part of this. And then finally, a promise to claim as we embrace Christ's mission. The context surrounding Matthew's passage is Jesus has risen from the dead. And what is the final and most important thing he wants to tell his disciples and us today before he ascends to the Father? The first thing he tells his disciples and us today is in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, why is this statement significant? Why did Jesus start off by saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me? Now this phrase, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, echoes a prophecy in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel was perplexed by a vision, by what he saw. He saw one that looked like the Son of Man, referring to Jesus Christ, presented before God. And Daniel records to us in verse 14, and to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion will be an everlasting dominion which will never pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. This was a prophecy that Daniel prophesied way beyond thousands of years before Jesus. And this prophecy highlights two things. Number one, God has given this person that Daniel saw, the Son of Man, and we know today, our Lord Jesus Christ, all authority, all dominion over everything, heaven and earth. And so this prophecy now has been fulfilled when Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me after his resurrection. Second, this prophecy in Daniel highlights that all peoples, nations, languages will gather in his kingdom. and will be in Jesus' kingdom forever. So part one of this prophecy has been fulfilled when Jesus declared that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. But how will the nations gather in Christ's kingdom? Has this been fulfilled? Jesus' coming has inaugurated the kingdom. It has happened and it will happen. But his disciples must now go to all nations and share the gospel until this vision is fully fulfilled. So that is why in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus called his disciples and us today to go and make disciples of all nations. Because when we embrace Jesus' mission, we will usher people into his kingdom. Another thing to note about Daniel's vision that the Son of Man will gather the nations is that this vision will not fail, because Jesus' resurrection has already proved that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And when we understand that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth, that means his authority is not just over the physical realm, but the spiritual world also. Satan and all other things, or any other spirits, will have to bow down to this authority. And what it means is that death and the evil one do not have the final control over our lives. Jesus has the authority to give life, even life after death. And that implies for us as Jesus' disciples, when we go and ask people to believe in Jesus Christ, when we go and make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not asking people to believe in a good teacher or a good teaching or something philosophical that is a good idea for you to have. We are not believing in some wisdom that is passed down 2,000 years ago and is good to follow. Neither are we asking people to put their faith in a man that is hung on the cross, still buried 2,000 years ago. We are committing our lives to the one who has authority over every ram and spear in this world, and there is no obstacle that Jesus cannot move. And so when we pray for our pre-believing friends and family members, remember who has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one that can move hearts, and we can pray in confidence, and we can certainly go in confidence. So we heard that Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. That is very important, because it means that our going is going to be a victory, since he has all authority and he is the one that called us to do his work. The vision will come to pass. Now it's a matter of whether you and I are going to be part of it. Now let us examine what Jesus says and how we can make disciples. The first thing that Jesus says is go. And this go has to do with what he has said before. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Go therefore. Go in full confidence of my authority in heaven and on earth. And this word go in the original language means to travel, to make a journey. It used to be that the gospel was for the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel. But with this commissioning, Jesus is telling his disciples, who used to stay away from the Gentiles, to go out of your people group to another people group, the Gentiles, us. the people who are not like them, to the unbelievers, the one who have different lifestyles and belief. And when Jesus says here, go, he is not saying, you know, if you are on your way, by the way kind of thing, you can be doing this. No. The word go here is an imperative which has the force like a command. Go. There's a sense of urgency here, and to go means we take the initiative. We need to go out of our comfort zone. It is impossible to fulfill Christ's mission if we are not going. It is in our going that people can hear the good news. So, brothers and sisters, as you are listening to this and the Lord says, go, who is someone that the Lord is telling you to go today? Who is someone that the Lord impressed upon your heart to go? Well, as a church, we came up with a simple model to encourage us to go. And that is lamps for Christ. You see this flashing every time before the service. It's a very simple model that encourages us to go and to be lamps for Christ. And let me just explain. Look out for someone is looking out for a pre-believer, you know, someone that we could reach to, someone that God has impressed upon our hearts. And ask God is basically pray for the person. Not just God, of course God opened his heart, but generally, you know, any concerns that this person have, to pray for him. And makan with the person is this idea of finding opportunities to have a meal, but the whole idea is to build relationship with this person. And then proclaim the gospel when there is an opportunity. Don't just stay at the fellowship of having meals, you know, but at the end of the day, we want to usher this person to know our Lord Jesus Christ. And then share your story, so that all of us will be inspired and encouraged, you know, when we hear your story of how you reach out, and we too can follow your example. So it's a very simple model, Lamps for Christ, easy to remember. I encourage you to apply it. A few days ago, I met a contractor because there was some water leakages in our chapel, different areas because of the rain, you know, recently. And as I was explaining the problem to him, he suddenly stopped me in the middle of the conversation, and he says, you know, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? I was thinking, oh, is it because of the repair? Or, you know, yeah, sure, sure. What would you like to ask? Can you don't be offended if I ask you a question? I said, okay, yeah, you know, ask. Then he asked me, why don't God snap his finger and make everybody obey him? I was thinking at the back of my mind, I'm talking about repairing. But it's a divine opportunity, isn't it? Because the person knows I'm a pastor, and he asked this question in the middle of a serious conversation about water leakage. So I was thinking, then he began to elaborate, you know, if God just snapped his finger and made everybody obey, then we have no problems on earth. You know, all of us will be obedient people. Then I said to him, you know, if God were to do that, then he might as well just create robots to obey him. Why need to create us? Just program the robot to obey him. Then I tell him, but that's not the way God created us. God created us in his image. You must remember last week's sermon, right? That's why you must always remember. Don't forget your sermon. And I said, part of that is to give us, when we are created in God's image, to give us the freedom to respond to him and to love him. He understand a little bit, but he was not very convicted. Then he keeps saying, you know, but if God just make us obey him, then we don't have to struggle so much. Then I shared with him that actually God did enable us to obey him. He gave us the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, to move our conscience, to obey him when we believe in Jesus. I do not know why, when I talk about the Holy Spirit, Benny's face lighted up. That's it, he said. The Holy Spirit. He seems very liberated to know that there is the Holy Spirit that will help him to obey. And I was a bit curious, so I asked, Benny, are you a Christian? Then he said, 80%. 80% because I can obey 8 of the 10 commandments. I didn't ask which one he cannot obey, but I thought, first meeting, we just leave it as it is first. And then he began to share with me about his beliefs and his thoughts and his teachings, and I just listened to him. And later, when I walked Benny to the car, of course, we settled the repair things. Benny told me, thank you for listening to me. And I realized that as we also share the gospel, it's also important to listen with gentleness. And he said this with respect. So pray for Benny. Pray that the Lord will move him from 80% to 100%. After he drove off, I sent him a message and I said, you know, Benny, thank you for coming and looking at our repair works, but I'm also praying for you that you will move to 100% Christian. Brothers and sisters, the Lord will open doors and opportunity. And when he does, always be prepared to give a reason for your hope and your faith. As what 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 16 tells us, and 1 Peter also tells us, and do this with gentleness and respect. Perhaps some of us struggle with this goal. It's not the most comfortable thing to do. But brothers and sisters, remember, who has the authority over heaven and on earth? He can move hearts. So go in full confidence. The Lord calls us to go, and go is to go beyond our social, geographical, and comfort boundary. Now, it's also important to understand in this commission that Jesus gives us, it is not expressed in terms of the means, being lamps for Christ, sharing the gospel. These are means and tools. But what is the command in this passage? The command in this passage is make disciples. That is Jesus' strategy. Now, what is a disciple? When I think of disciple, I think of my favorite childhood movies. When I was young, I liked to watch this Shao Ling Shi and this Wu Ling Mi Ji and this Wu Tang, don't know what, fighting shows, you know. And a typical fighting Shaolin show will be there is a disciple who, or there's a man who wants to beg this grandmaster to accept him as a disciple. And then the grandmaster will say, okay, you go and carry buckets of water from the river to the mountain. Unknown to him, the grandmaster is actually training his foundation, right, his strength. So he does that for some time, and then after that, the grandmaster will show him some skills and the disciple will start to imitate his master. And then the grandmaster will give him a book. Okay, this is the manual. Or then after that, he will learn the kung fu and he will be like his master. In some sense, that is what being a disciple is. It is not filling the person with just information, but is helping him in different ways and practices to adopt the lifestyle, the values, and the behavior of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christian discipleship, we need to be clear also that we are not influencing the person to adopt our values or our lifestyle, but for him to follow Christ. And that is something that our Lord Jesus emphasized later in verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Point the person to Jesus Christ. In this command to make disciples, there are two important components for discipleship making, for discipleship to happen. First, Jesus say, baptizing them. You know, during Jesus' time, the sign of someone coming to believe in Jesus Christ is not, say, the sinner's prayer. It is baptism. Baptism is the sign that someone turns from his old life and believes in Jesus Christ. And why is baptism important? In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus himself identified with us through baptism. And here he commands for baptism. And if the Son of God identifies with us, how can we not identify with him through baptism? So, brothers and sisters, if you have yet to believe, yet to be baptized, and you have been a believer of Jesus Christ, I encourage you to take this next step. Now, second, why baptism is important? Some of us think that the meaning of baptism, oh, is this religious ceremony where the pastor pours water over the person and then he's baptized. Yes, that is a religious ceremony. But there are different passages in the New Testament that tells us what baptism symbolizes and why is it so significant. For example, in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, baptism is a sign of repentance and forgiveness. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, baptism represents death to the old ways and a new life in Christ. It is associated with receiving the Holy Spirit. Baptism, and this is important, many of us missed out this point. Baptism also means to be incorporated into the body of Christ, the church. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that we are baptized into one body. So being a Christian is not an individual journey or an individual faith. If we understand what baptism and what God means for us to know Jesus Christ, we must understand it in light of his people. We are baptized in his body. So why is this very significant? That it tells us that baptism is not just limited to that water activity or the ceremony. When Jesus says baptized, we can also imply to fold the person into a faith community, that this person will also be supported and grow spiritually together with the rest of the body of Christ. So when we reach out to someone, don't stop at conversion. Make disciples doesn't mean that the person is converted and job is done. No. Jesus says, baptizing them. And we make disciples, it includes folding a new believer into the fellowship of the church. I thought there's an example there. Later, I will introduce to you our new Project Jericho staff, Bing Yao, or we know him as Cody. And as I was talking to him, I realized that, hey, you know, the discipleship happened and how he was folded into the church, and today he's serving us as a Project Jericho. He grew in his faith through the church life program by the Boys Brigade. Many years ago, he was in the Boys Brigade from PHS. And then there's a community of people who invested in his life, who helped him to know and to grow more, to learn about Jesus Christ through an Alpha program. And he mentioned people like Loretta, Ke Ting, Lynn was were very influential in helping him to grow and understand. And they brought him to the fore of the church and youth ministry, and today he's serving as a Project Jericho. And his father and mother also came to our church because of him, and they are our baptized member, Ethan and Fiona. And his sister is also in our youth ministry, Hannah. Brothers and sisters, this is discipleship in the making. Reach out to somebody through the Boys Brigade. There's a community that helped him to grow and integrate him to the church. And this is making disciples. It is very interesting that in the sequence of disciple making, Jesus mentioned baptism first and then teaching, baptizing them and then teaching them to observe. You know, a lot of us, we want to get baptized, okay, we attend a class, okay, the foundation class, and then after 9 sessions, we kind of graduate at Christmas through a baptism service. But if we were to take Jesus' order here literally, the teaching comes after the baptism. What does it mean? What it means is that baptism is not a graduation service. It is a commencement service. After baptism, we continue to learn and we continue to grow in our faith. There's a place for formal teaching, like the worship service, the ABC classes, but teaching also happens in the informal ways, like the cell groups, the mentoring, and other informal settings. Okay, so these are some of the settings that we learn and we grow together. The elders and deacons court have been reading a book called Biblical Church Growth. And one of the things that the author mentions about, he defines making disciples as finding the lost, folding them in a local church, and then building them up in their faith. And this process is taken from this verse in Matthew that we just heard. In our going, we win pre-believers to Christ. In baptism, we help them to be part of the faith community. And in teaching, the spiritual formation and growth continues to happen. So I shared with us Jesus' authority in heaven and on earth, and he called us to go to make disciples. And what does make disciples contain? Important ingredients. There's this aspect about folding them into the church, of course, identifying with Christ through baptism, and the teaching component. Now, how do we make disciples in AMKPC, and how can we participate in the disciple-making process? Okay, this is a very simple flowchart of how we have made disciples, and over the years, you know, come up with something like that. We reach out to friends through walk-ins, who come to our service, Lambs for Christ, friends that we invite in CG. And we see that if those who are seeking for the Lord, who wants to find out more, you can invite them to Alpha. I'll share a little bit about what Alpha is about. Okay, and through Alpha, if they pray to believe in Jesus Christ, then they become a believer, a disciple. If not, then we continue to reach out to them as one who's seeking to find out more about Jesus. And so the next stage is, how do we help this person to be a disciple, a follower of our Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, remember the green and blue book? Okay, so these are some very basic foundation and simple doctrines of what it means to be a Christian. We follow up with this person. At the same time, we try to fold him into the community, a small group. You know, when you come to church in a big setting like this, you may not know the people, but it's through small groups that we know people, we can be supported, can pray for one another. And then we encourage them to, you know, time to consider baptism. and then to be a serving member of AMKPC. But a lot of times we stop here and we realize this is a gap in our church. How do we move us from being a serving member to someone who will mentor others, to reach out to others, a spiritual parent? Okay, you can be a disciple maker or just mentoring others or to serve in the ministry. So we, since last year, we started this Roots and Wings. It's a mentoring time that we have, you know, a 12-session thing with somebody. And we started last year, and I only have pictures of two groups, but actually there are seven groups who are doing this. Okay, it involves a daily quiet time, a bit heavy going, daily quiet time based on the book, and then meet for 12 sessions together. And through it, actually, it's not a program that we fulfill. As we do it, we realize that we also build relationship with one another, bond, and certainly fellowship over the Word of God. Making disciples is one of our pillars in our vision. And the thing about the model that I show you, it's not an individual work, it's also about teamwork. At some point, when the cell group, when we integrate person in the cell group, the shepherds kind of come in. Okay. How can you be part of this? We are conducting our third run of Alpha. And this Alpha program is about building relationships with pre-believers. And each session revolves around a meal. The pandemic didn't allow us to have this for the past two runs, so we did it online. Hopefully this round we could have it physical in smaller groups. A meal, watch a video presentation, and then have a lot of conversations about Christianity. It's not pushy, but it's just for people to know more about God. And it's amazing, over the past two runs, the Lord led people to come to know Jesus, and they are integrated to our church today. So from now to May, when the registration is open, pray for somebody that the Lord puts in your heart and be lamps for Christ for that person so that you can invite him to this Alpha program. The Lord's command is to make disciples, and it starts with us saying, Lord, yes, I will obey this command and I will go, because this is the Lord's command. It continues with helping a new believer integrate and grow in a church community. Brothers and sisters, making disciples involves commitment. It will take your time, it will take your energy, it will take your resources. It will mean to shift certain priorities in life and to say that this is a priority. Because how will the nations, how will your family members, our friends, come to know of God's salvation unless we go? And we may face the unknown challenges, sometimes rejections and disappointments. But there's a promise to claim. And Jesus says this in verse 20. I am with you always to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, we like to quote this verse and to say, yeah, the Lord is with me in my trials, in my low moments. Yes, you can quote that. But if you strictly want to follow the context where Jesus says this, he is saying that as you go and make disciples, you are not going alone. I am with you. The Spirit of God will move the heart of the person to turn to him. You don't have to be so worried about that. The Lord will strengthen you because you are not alone. I am with you. As long as you go on this journey to make disciples and to go, the Lord promised to be with us. And what a comfort and encouragement this is. Over the 2 weeks, we learn about Christ-likeness. It is the will of God for the people of God. And a key part we learn about Christ-likeness today is embracing Christ's mission to the lost. The Lord holds all authority in heaven and on earth. He will gather the nations. The vision has been proclaimed. It is a matter of time where God says, "It is done." From now to then, will we embrace this mission to the nations? Many have yet to experience the peace and the joy that you have, I have, in knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. And for them to experience, we need to go and make disciples. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, as you listen to this message, who is the Lord impressing upon your heart today to go, to be a lamp for Christ too? Will you take this time now to pray for this person? And if you are struggling, "Lord, you know, I don't have the burden. I don't think I can do it." Then can you pray that the Lord will move your heart? Pray that the Lord will give you this conviction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your challenge for us as we begin this new year, Lord. Many things will creep into our minds and into our lives, but you show us what is a key priority in your heart and your will for us as your people. I pray, Lord, that you continue to move in our hearts, Lord, the people that you have brought to our mind. May we not lose the burden to reach out to them, knowing that salvation is only in the one who holds all authority in heaven and on earth. Lord Jesus, keep us faithful to the task. Give us courage to go. And we know that, Lord, as we do that, we will experience your presence and your power with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.